Wonder if you might pray with me and for me today. Gracious God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning. You would open our minds to understand, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed, and God, that I would do nothing to get in the way. So come, Holy Spirit, and do what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's Confirmation Sunday. I don't know who just said amen back there, but he did it last night too. All right. I love it. So it's Confirmation Sunday, and our students have been on a journey. And we made a decision a few months ago that during this season of Lent, which is a season that goes from Ash Wednesday to Easter, we were going to talk about a journey. This thing is called the walk. And how do we think about the walk and how we take steps along the walk? And we said we're going to focus on five specific areas. We're going to focus on worship. We're going to focus on study or spiritual growth, serving, giving, and sharing. Because what we believe is if we could focus on these things, then we could take a look at our interior life so that we could go out and love the world more, so that we could care about people more, so that we could actually make an impact on the world. Because I think that's what we're really called to do. And last week we talked about worship, and we said there are three things that worship does. And if you missed the message, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it. But worship calls us, worship expands us, and worship transforms us. And we said worship is not simply what we do on Sunday morning. Worship is our life. It's how we go out into the world, how we connect, and God is the center of that worship. Now today, we're going to move on. Adam Hamilton in the book The Walk says study. I like to say spiritual growth. We're going to move on to take a look at spiritual growth and how we grow in our life with Christ. How do we grow closer and closer? So what is it? It's the idea that we spend time focusing on our spiritual life. Confirmands, that's what you've been doing. The last few months, you've been taking a deep dive to focus more intentionally on your spiritual life. And church, we need to model that for our confirmands. How do we take a deeper dive? How do we grow in our faith? While each of these areas that we're going to talk about over the next 5 weeks do this, specifically today I want to talk about how do we focus on that internal peace? How do we focus on it in a way that pushes us closer and closer to God? Now, I think one of the challenges with our spiritual life is that we often compare ourselves to other people. You ever done that? You sit in a room, you're like, I'm not as spiritual as that person, right? I don't have it all together like that person. I don't know all the different Bible verses like that person. I'm not as powerful as that person. I'm not as good as, well, you get the idea. Last week, I connected this series to working out and to going to the gym and to paying attention to our physical selves. And I said, you know, we can spend our time focusing on all those end goals. And one of the problems with our spiritual life is that we can spend our time looking around the gym and going, I'll never be as buff as that person. Right? I'll never be as strong as them. I'll never be able to lift what they lift. I can never run as fast as that person. I can never do as much as them. And the problem is, if we do that, we'll never start. Because everybody has to start somewhere. Right, I would argue there are people around the gym who will look at you and say, I'll never get there. Believe it or not, there are people when I go to the gym that look at me, right, and say, we'll never be as buff as Tim, right? I know it's hard to believe that that happens, but it does, right? Or we'll never be able to run as, it's never as buff, but it's run as fast as Tim can do. So many times in this church, friends, we've talked about how we're on this journey. And we're on a journey together, and we're doing it together. And why in the world wouldn't we invite everybody to be part of that journey, to take those steps together? I remember when Susan and I first met. Susan's my wife, for clarity's sake. When we first met, I was working in a company, and she was temping at the company. And she had been there a little while. She was working at the front desk. And she came up, and I said something like, what are you doing this weekend? And she said, I'm helping out the youth at my church. I'm going to help out the youth. And I said, oh, that's really cool. I work with the youth at my church as well. And here's what I found out later was going through my wife's head. I want you to see this meme. Don't be like, I'm spiritual. I'd be like, demons are spiritual too. Be more specific. Later, she was saying, he probably bought something from a bake sale one time. See, the truth is, friends, we're all in different places on our spiritual journey. We're all taking the walk. We're all moving. And it's an important thing to notice that we're all on the journey. I think it's easy for us to look at these characters in the Bible, if we read these stories, and to say, oh, well, their faith was so deep. But unfortunately, that's because we don't often go back and read the beginning, that they're on a journey as well, that they're regular people doing regular things, trying to figure out how to live a regular life where they fall in love with God more and love the world more. Right? It's easy for us to look at them and say, well, I'll never be like Abraham, or I'll never be like David. I'll never be like Esther. I couldn't do what Esther did. See, that's part of the problem with the Bible. When we pick and choose and we pull places out, we say we'll never be them. But when we go back and read the beginning, we see a journey. So I want to take you to one of those spiritual giants, one of those people from the Bible that people look at and say, oh, they had it all together. His name is Paul. Paul was a missionary. He was a person that went around and he was trying to start churches and trying to do new things. But if you back up his story, you find out Paul is actually this guy who is religiously very strong, but religiously against a lot of things and a lot of people. He persecutes Christians. He tries to take them out. Paul tries to make sure that people lose their lives if they focus on Jesus. And today we look at Paul and we say, isn't he just such a great giant of faith? Like, look at his spiritual life. So I want to take you to a place in Philippians 3 to look a little bit at his journey this morning. It says, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, that's not awkward, right? Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I think there's more. There we go. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, and straining forward, I press on toward the goal for the prize of a heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. So this is a big, long text. It's a big, long piece where Paul says, I did all the right things. I checked all the right boxes. Sometimes, friends, we think that's what the church is, right? Check the right boxes, do all the right things. Paul says, I did everything I was supposed to do. He said, I persecuted Christians. That's what I was supposed to do. He says, I got circumcised because that's what I was told I was supposed to do. And in the world, he was blameless. But the problem was, he simply didn't get it. He thought if he just followed all the rules, if he just checked all the boxes, that would be the thing that transformed his life. But spiritual growth is not about following the rules. It's not about making sure you check all the right boxes. It's not about making sure that you do all of what your religion tells you you're supposed to do. It's about transformation. It's about change. It's about loving people more. It's about being kinder. It's about being more gracious. It's about living a life that reflects how much Christ loves the world. And then he moves on and he starts to think about things that he needs to give up. Things that he had to release, things that he had to let go of, because spiritual growth requires that we give things up. But what else does it require? I want to give you three things this morning. Confirmation, see if you can remember these, because there's going to be a test at the end. No, I'm just kidding. They're all sweating. All right. Spiritual growth requires our attention. Spiritual growth requires our connection. And spiritual growth requires our intention. Attention, connection, and intention. So how first does it require our attention? It requires that we understand where we are and where we want to be. How do you have a goal of where you want to go if you don't know where you are? It requires that we pay attention to where we are headed. What do we desire to be? Do we ultimately desire, maybe our end goal is that our lives reflect Christ more to the world. Maybe our end goal is that we're less judgmental. Maybe our end goal is that we care about people in a more intentional way. Whatever it is, we've got to define what that goal is. One of the ways that we can do that is we can look at our lives and we can say, where were we a year ago? Am I a nicer person than I was a year ago? Am I kinder? Am I more gracious? Am I less angry? Does traffic bother me less? Those of you who will start to drive soon, you'll understand that. Do I rely on Jesus more for decisions? Do I pray more? Not for the sake of getting something, but for the sake of the world and for the sake of connecting with God. These are just a few assessment questions. Now, some of you who are here in church today might say, here's my assessment. I'm brand new and I'm not even sure I believe. There, you have defined where you are on the journey. And some of you are saying, yeah, I've believed in God my whole life and I'm at this place, but I'm not really sensing God right now and I'm not feeling God right now. That's where you are in your assessment. And some of you are saying, man, I'm feeling really good with God right now and I'm feeling connected. That's where you are with your assessment. Whatever it is, wherever you are, name your place. Find your place, because if we want to head towards spiritual growth, we have to know where we're starting and where we're going. So I'm going to take you back to the gym analogy for just a moment. It's not enough simply to assess when you get to the gym. You can't just walk in the gym and go, well, I can't lift anything, and then walk out. That does nothing, right? Just assessing. But you have to set a goal and start working towards that goal. You have to pay attention and start getting towards that. You have to focus. Let me give you an example for your spiritual life. Maybe in your spiritual life, you want to set a goal of getting to know about the ministry of Jesus on earth. A way to do that is to intentionally read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe that's your goal and that's the way that you live into that. Maybe one of your things is that you want to intentionally be less complaining. You want to complain less. Then maybe you put something on your wrist and every time you complain, you put it on your other wrist. And if you find all day long, all you're doing is switching things, then you know you're not moving in the right direction, right? But setting a goal and then setting a way to get to that goal, to pay attention to it. Maybe your goal in your spiritual life is to have less fear. Pay attention to that. Journal about that. Write about that. Think about that. Simple steps are important in the walk. Pay attention to that. Now I want to go back to this idea of comparison and spiritual growth. Do you all, I want to look at the confirmants for a second. Do you all ever compare yourself to other kids at school? Right? Do you ever say, I'm smarter than them? I'm less smart than them? You ever say, they're better on this team than I am? Or I might make JV, that kid will probably make varsity because they're faster, they do better. Right, there are ways that we spend much of our life comparing ourselves to so many people. And we say, we'll never be as strong as that person. The word never gets us nowhere. If we say that phrase, it gets us nowhere. I can look at someone beside me, and here's the other thing that's really important. I can look at somebody beside me if I'm at the gym and I can say they're a lot more physically fit than I am, but I have no clue that what's going on the inside. I have no clue how they got there. I have no clue, are they taking some enhancement that helps get them there? I have no clue what the pain they deal with when they get home. I have no clue what else is going on in their lives. So it's a real danger to sit there and compare ourselves to other people in their spiritual life. Because the problem is, friends, they will disappoint us and it will fall and it will be a real problem. So we have to pay attention. Paul, in this situation, the guy that I was talking about before is a Pharisee. He's a religious leader and he thinks he has it all together. He thinks he's checked it all. He thinks he's understood. And the truth is, it isn't until he has this moment where he releases, I'm the best in the world and I've got it all figured out, where Jesus gets a hold of him and says, that's not what it's about at all. It's about loving. It's not about persecuting. It's not about going after people. Here's the second thing. Spiritual growth requires our connection. As much as people talk about spiritual practices, and I think they're really important, what we know through lots of research, and Brenda added to this today, is that what we need to grow in our faith is connection with others. We need other people. That's why the confirmation process is so beautiful. I'm so grateful that you guys went on your retreat in the beginning this time, early on, because you know each other better. You connected more. You have connection with other people. I'm so grateful for your mentors, because your mentors have poured into your lives. You know those mentors. They can now be people that you go to. Church is about connection. One of the ways that we do that here, we do it through small groups, which you guys have done small groups through this period. It's a time for people to get to know each other, to grow in their connection with each other. I had a coach one time who said the very first thing that should happen in every small group is everybody should just say, here's where I am on my journey, and be unashamed about it. People should just name, this is where I am, so that we all know how we journey together, so that we all know where we are. We shouldn't come into a small group and say, well, I don't know the Bible as much as that person, so I'm not going to say anything. That's rubbish, right? That's crazy. Let's all journey together. That's what we do in the midst of community. Another place that we do that is in worship. Why do we come together in person for worship? I love that we have online, and I know for some people it's the only option that you have. Why do we come together in person? Because when we come together in person, we can look around the room and say, I've got people who are walking with me. I've got people who are journeying with me. I've got people who also have messed up things going on in their lives, and God loves them too. That's such a big piece of the puzzle. So we have to have connection with others. Here's the third thing. Spiritual growth requires our intention. It requires us not only to look forward, but rather to intentionally focus on it. Here's what Paul says about it. He says, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the prize to see the greater goal. How do you do this? You have to focus on intentional spiritual practices. And look, when I first found out about spiritual practices in my life, I was early in college. And I remember people told me, you have to do them this way, and you have to do them at this time of day, and you have to do them, and you have to do. Guess what I didn't want to do? None of that. Right? You have to find the practices that work for you, but it does require intentional space. Prayer requires intentional space. It requires intentional time. I don't care if you do it at 8 a.m. or midnight. I don't care when you do it, but it requires that we put that space aside, that we focus on that. It requires that we're intentional. You know, one of the things, and I know most of you, and I don't think this is going to happen to you all. One of the things that they say in churches is kids get to confirmation, and they come through confirmation, and then we never see them again. That is a real shame, because you are a gift to the church, and the church needs you as much as you need the church. But that intentionality and coming to worship, serving, giving generously of your resources, their spiritual practices. Let's take the Bible, for example. Just getting up and reading the Bible is going to do nothing to you. You can read anything. But if you read the Bible for the intention of becoming more like Jesus and caring about people more and loving people more, and you allow that to transform your life, that's a whole different story. So it's not about checking the box. It's about how we take that next step. We have an app here. Do you guys know Crossroads has an app? Some of you are like, yeah, just shake your head. Yes, it makes me feel better. Okay, all right, so we have an app. That app sends a daily prayer out. There's daily scripture in it. You can get that, and then it's pushed right to you like the rest of your life, right? It can all come right to your phone. But you can read that, you can spend time in that, and I think that could be a real gift to you. So I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you on your seats. Everybody should have a little piece of paper. And the little piece of paper has four goals on it. I'm trying to give you some practices, some things that you can do. And if you're online, you can see the goals on the screen. The first one says, I'll ask God to guide me towards new opportunity for spiritual growth. So I will pray for God to show me how to step towards spiritual growth. That's the first one. Here's the second one. I'll become part of a small group that will help me grow spiritually. Here's the third one. I'll begin a daily discipline of prayer and reflection. And the fourth one, and this is important, I hope that everybody checks the fourth box. This represents a new step for me in an area of spiritual growth. So I want to invite you to fill these out today. You can bring them forward when you come to communion. Nobody's going to read them. We're not going to check them. This is an exercise for you and for your spirit. If you want to take a picture of it after you fill it out, if you want to take it home, that's okay too. But I want to invite you to take a step on your journey, to take a step on the walk. I want to challenge you to do that. I want to challenge you to think about, what's your workout routine going to be for your faith? What's your step going to be? What's your thing going to be? Because if all we ever do is say, yeah, I should do something, it's never going to change. If I go to the doctor and the doctor says I have really high cholesterol, I should do something about it. If all I do is acknowledge I have high cholesterol, it's going to cause me real pain. I want to encourage you to think about your spiritual life in the exact same way. I want to encourage you to think about your spiritual life and how to invest in that so that you will reveal Christ to the world more. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for the way that you journey with us. We are not walking alone. So God, do what you do. Let us get out of the way and encourage us to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.